This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning. It is 8:07, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock at WCHL. 58 degrees still this morning. It's been there all morning long. Very cloudy and wet. We've had quite a lot of overnight rain, and we expect an 80% chance of more rain continuing all day in the form of widespread showers this morning and then showers, maybe even a thunderstorm or two in the afternoon. Our high today, about 65. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Numerous showers. Isolated thunderstorms in prediction. Then scattered showers after midnight as well. A little patchy fog as well after midnight. The chance of rain is 60%. It will be 50% all day tomorrow and tomorrow night. NBA basketball player Jason Collins is the first openly gay athlete to come out while playing in a major American team sport. And on the collegiate level, the University of North Carolina is taking steps of its own to ensure that the athletic community is welcoming to LGBTQ student athletes as well. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more on the story.
I think that there is certainly an openness and a desire to create an inclusive and welcoming environment.
That's Terry Phoenix. She's the director of the UNC LGBTQ Center. Phoenix has worked alongside Cricket Lane, UNC's assistant athletic director for student athlete development, to educate students, athletes, coaches, and staff about the importance of creating a safe atmosphere for LGBTQ student athletes.
And I do a lot of education work with athletics. So pretty much every year I talk to the incoming first-year football players.
Phoenix says UNC plans to participate in the You Can Play project. It's a national campaign dedicated to ensuring equality, respect, and safety for all student athletes without regard to sexual orientation. The National Hockey League Players Association and the National Hockey League announced its partnership with You Can Play in April. Universities like Duke, Miami, and UCLA have all produced content for the project. Phoenix says the It Gets Better video, released in April of 2012, also shows the university's attitude towards acceptance. In the YouTube video, UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham, along with more than 30 student-athletes from 10 varsity teams, promoted anti-bullying and suicide prevention for LGBTQ teens. Phoenix is also a member of the university's new task force that's charged to review and enhance the university's policies and procedures for handling student-on-student complaints of harassment, sexual misconduct, and discrimination. It's being chaired by Christy Hurt, UNC's new interim Title IX coordinator. Phoenix will bring her background in counseling and violence prevention to the discussion on sexual assault.
That policy, while a lot of people have talked about it as, you know, specifically sexual assault, it actually is supposed to be covering a broader area than that.
The task force will meet throughout the summer and present recommendations to current policy by the end of the summer. For more information about the UNC LGBTQ Center and the You Can Play project, or to watch the UNC It Gets Better video, visit our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The university is holding the Think Fast Forum today. It's a discussion about the Boston Marathon bombings, featuring UNC's experts in public policy, religious studies, history, journalism, and law.
The Boston Marathon bombing was definitely a traumatic and important event, and I think a forum like this can contribute to better understanding about the risks involved, how this came about, what we need to do to prevent things like this in the future.
That is forum speaker David Schanzer, professor of public policy at UNC and Duke. He's also the director of the Triangle Center of Terrorism and Homeland Security, a research initiative between Carolina, Duke, and RTI International.
I hope to think to talk about the issues of motivation and the questions of radicalization of individuals and what causes that, and also how it can be prevented.
The forum is happening from 6:30 until 8:30 p.m. today at the George Watts Hill Alumni Center on the UNC campus. It's free and open to everyone.
I expect we'll have agreement on some issues but disagreement on others, and that's what these kinds of events are useful to do, to have dialogue and debate.
Speaker Louise McReynolds is a professor of history and she's currently studying how sensational murders have raised a number of social and political questions.
Because as an historian, I always want to have some larger perspective on situations that happen this quickly.
For a full list of speakers at the Think Fast Forum on the UNC campus, visit our website, chapelboro.com. Again, that is from 6:30 until 8:30 p.m. today at the George Watts Hill Alumni Center at UNC. State residents will have to wait to find out whether the state's first rule surrounding hydraulic fracturing will be approved. And in the meantime, some local residents are afraid that oil industries might have too much influence over any rules that are ever allowed to exist. Here's local science expert Jeff Danner.
Here again, you know, if in the end there is no consideration of the broader concerns for protecting our water and resources, you know, I have a lack of confidence that they'll write a good rule in that case.
Last year, hydraulic fracturing, otherwise known as fracking, was formally legalized in North Carolina. It's been extremely controversial in our state. Since then, the North Carolina Mining and Energy Commission has been charged with creating regulations for the procedure. Last Friday, the commission was set to formally vote on its first rule, which stated that miners would have to publicly disclose certain chemicals that were being used. But at the last minute, commission members learned they couldn't consider the rule yet, because officials from Halliburton, one of the country's biggest oil companies, believe it's overly harsh in its current form. During fracking, miners drill high-pressure fluid and chemicals into the ground to obtain natural gas. Many local politicians and residents, such as Jeff Danner, have questions about how the practice should be monitored to make sure it stays environmentally safe. Danner says this could be just the beginning of a larger pattern where high-powered oil industries have too much influence over the rulemaking process.
There are many states where the drilling industry has been successful in implementing the rule the way Halliburton wants it, where there is no disclosure required. So my concern would be that that will be the case.
And Danner adds that he believes the commission came up with the axed regulation only after productive and very careful consideration.
During the 6 months or 9 months that the commission has been trying to write the rules, they've gotten lots of input from all different sources. And I'm sure it's been a challenging project for them to complete. And during that time, they considered all of those inputs and came up with this rule. But then at the end, this big oil field company giant comes in and just is able to influence our state government to turn away from the commission's work.
The commission's rule is now set to be revised by the North Carolina Department of Environment and Natural Resources. Nathan Millian, manager at Carmel Mall in Carrboro, confirms that there was a break-in there over the weekend. Millian says he believes an unknown number of people broke into Panzanella restaurant, and from there, they entered the regular portion of the mall. Millian says the front window of the bead store was smashed through, and he reports the cash register at the bead store was also damaged. He believes the intruder or intruders left through Panzanella as well. As technology becomes increasingly important in today's society, several branches of the local government are turning more to social media to communicate with the public. But some officials are still cautious about making the shift. WCHL's Ann Brenner has the story.
For the Chapel Hill Police Department, Sergeant Josh Meesemore says officers are primarily focused on using Twitter instead of Facebook for up-to-the-second news.
In the past, we've kind of put out the same content on both services, and I think moving forward you'll see more of the current events, up to the minute kind of stuff on Twitter from us, and then use Facebook for more of the information about ongoing investigations or trying to solicit input from the public, put out more detailed information about things that are going on with the police department or things we're doing around town.
Meesemore says the Chapel Hill Police Department's Twitter page has particularly seen success when it comes to traffic enforcement announcements.
When our traffic unit is out doing speed enforcement or stop sign violations in a particular part of town, when we put that out, that's one of the things that gets retweeted the most by people, because it seems like that's of great interest to people. They want to send it out to their followers so that they know that we're doing speed enforcement somewhere and we're not trying to hide it.
But unlike Chapel Hill, the town of Carrboro hasn't set up social media sites for law enforcement. Here's Lieutenant Chris Atack of the Carrboro Police Department.
The town has a Facebook account, as well as a Twitter account. We don't have a separate police department one at this time. So if there's any sort of information that needs to go out about upcoming events or other public safety issues, we usually use those two outlets.
Still, ATAC says the idea isn't off the table for some point in the future.
It's been an avenue we've been looking at for a period of time, because there are some, obviously, departments in the area that have Facebook presence specifically, and there is certainly utility in that application, so that's something that we're exploring.
For the town of Hillsborough, Facebook has been a useful tool in the apprehension of suspects. According to the town website, in March of 2012, officers started using Facebook to request tips from the public. Since that time, 14 posts have resulted in suspect identifications or arrests. Facebook tips have also led officers to recover numerous stolen items. Meanwhile, in the educational branch of local government, Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board member James Barrett says while social media can be valuable, it's not without its risks.
I think the biggest one is that it's very easy to say something that can be taken out of context. And it's really true of all electronic communication. There's no tone, and so people lose that perspective on what's being said.
The Chapel Hill Carborough City School District does have both a Twitter and a Facebook page, but Barrett says right now the board's members are leaving most social media projects to Executive Director of Community Relations, Jeff Nash.
I think that Mr. Nash is certainly cognizant of trying to communicate with people more and be open to people more. And so I think he's looking for ways to do that, but it's not been a serious push of the board, I don't think.
But Barrett, who recently wrote a blog post on the growing role of social media in local government, says he acknowledges the importance of social media for the district, especially for sharing images.
I think particularly our Facebook presence allows us to share photos. It's been great for people to be able to see Northside Elementary going up and things like that. So we're definitely moving in the right direction.
You can follow links on our website at chapelborough.com to access the social media sites for the Chapel Hill and Hillsborough Police Departments, as well as the Chapel Hill Carborough City School District. Ann Brenner, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Good morning. It is 8:18, 18 minutes after 8 o'clock, WCHL. Time now for traffic and weather together. And this traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Fill up your tank and get your morning coffee, cappuccino, or hot chocolate, and a freshly baked biscuit or pastry. And don't forget those big 79-cent fountain drinks as well. Only at Cruisers. Good to go. Now, with your morning traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Still seeing pretty good roadways out there right now. 15501 northbound and southbound between Garrett Road and I-40. Seeing those usual slowdowns that we see in the morning commute. Also, NC-54 between 15501 and I-40, seeing just a couple delays as well. No major accidents or no accidents reported at this time right now. No major delays at this time. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, though, be sure to give us a call. You can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at WCHL. And as always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And you did a good job delivering that safely as well.
I appreciate that.
All right. Talk to you in a while. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather presented by Grimble Jewelers. If you need something really simple like a new watch battery, you just want to go take a look and see what they have. Or if you are really serious about an engagement ring, or you've had this custom piece of jewelry in mind in your brain for a long time and you want to bring it to reality, go see Berkeley Grimble at Grimble Jewelers. He's always there for you. Berkeley Grimble at Grimble Jewelers, premier full-service jeweler in the Village Plaza next to Whole Foods. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, 59 degrees in Chapel Hill. Widespread showers this morning, numerous showers, maybe thunderstorms in the afternoon, kind of a proverbial rainy day, high today in the middle 60s, chance of rain is 80%. Now tonight, 60% chance of rain, tomorrow 50-50 chance of rain, tomorrow and tomorrow night, chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, high in the upper 60s, low tomorrow night in the low 50s. Then on Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s again. Still 40% chance of rain. Wednesday night, more of the same with a low in the low 50s. And then Thursday, finally, that's the first good weather we've had for a while. It'll be partly sunny on Thursday. Still a slight chance of rain, but not so bad. But temperatures will warm up into the low 70s or maybe even the middle 70s. So the weather will get better. It's just going to take a few days before it gets there.
Wake up every morning with one of Chapel Hill's leading action adults, Ron Stutz in the Morning News. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
WCHL Championship Sports coming up in just a moment, but first, this quick note. It's time to say thank you to all the mothers out there this Mother's Day with WCHL and ChapelBrew.com's Mother's Day Photo Contest. We know everybody out there has some great pictures of their moms, grandmothers, aunts, sisters, or even friends that show us all what it really means to be a great mother. I would throw the wife's in there in that category as well. It'd be moms, grandmothers, aunts, sisters, friends, wives, whatever. All you got to do is go to chapelbro.com. Did we mention that you'll get to see the new Chapelbro 2.0? It's bigger, better, and stronger. Click on the Mother's Day photo contest link and submit a picture. You can submit a photo until Monday, May 20th at midnight. That's the deadline. After that, get all your friends and family to visit the contest page to vote for your picture. The picture with the most votes will win an amazing gift prize of $250 in cash and over $50 more in gift cards. Get your photo entry in today. Go to chapelbro.com for all the details. 8:22, 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. Carolina baseball team has another day off. Tar Heels have been taking several days off because of final exams. They'll be back in action tomorrow night. Softball team, same thing. They will swing back into action after several days off for exams. ACC champion men's lacrosse team will play host to Patriot League champion Lehigh in the first round of the 2013 NCAA Division I men's lacrosse tournament next Saturday at noon at Fetzer Field. This matchup will feature two teams with the longest current winning streaks in the NCAA Division I. The number 5 seed Tar Heels won 9 games in a row, and they are 12-3 going into the postseason. Lehigh, unseeded, has won 7 games in a row, now 12-4 overall. Tar Heels are 6-2-1 all-time against Lehigh. In the most recent meeting between the two teams, Lehigh beat Carolina 9-8. That was almost exactly a year ago on Fetzer Field. Game will be nationally televised on ESPN2. Tar Heels are in the NCAA tournament for the 28th time in school history, the 7th consecutive year. Tar Heels have qualified for the NCAA tournament in each of Coach Joe Bresci's 5 years as head coach. Lehigh's in the tournament field for the 2nd year in a row. Carolina's all-time tournament record, 27-23. The number 5 seed is the highest for UNC since Tar Heels received a number 4 back in 2010. Advance tickets are on sale today at the Ticket Center and GoHeels.com. All seats are general admission. Ticket prices $10 for adults, $5 for UNC students. The UNC women's lacrosse team has earned the number 3 seed in the 2013 NCAA tournament. The NCAA selection committee announced that last night. Tar Heel women earn a bid for the 9th consecutive year, 15th time overall. UNC will host a first-round game between High Point and Loyola on Friday afternoon at 5. The winner of that game will advance to play the Tar Heels in the second round on Sunday at 1 at Fetzer Field. Carolina played 14 games against 12 opponents who made the expanded 2016 field this spring, including 5 games against top six seeds. UNC is 11-3 this season against teams that are in the NCAA tournament. UNC is a top 5 seed for the 5th year in a row, the number 3 seed for the 4th time in 5 years. UNC was the number 5 seed last year. NCAA semifinals and national championship game for the women will be played on May 24th and 26th in Villanova, Pennsylvania. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Rod Stutz.
Archansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Who is Gary Zagar, and where will he be working next week? This is Archansky with Monday Sports Notebook. The 11th annual PGA Tour event concluded over the weekend at the Quail Hollow Club in Charlotte. Tiger Woods wasn't there, and it's a good thing he wasn't. One complaint by Tiger over the greens would have surely cost Director of Golf Maintenance Gary Zagar his job. As it is, Zagar will likely lose it anyway. Golf course greens are one of the more finicky things in life to maintain, no matter how much money and care you put into them. Of course, more money helps, especially from creation of the greens. At Augusta National, for example, the greens have drying units underneath as well as sprinkler systems. So whatever Mother Nature calls for, the Masters putting services will be ready the second week in April. Quail Hollow wasn't so lucky this year. 3 of the greens had to be completely re-sided a week before the Wells Fargo Championship, one of them twice. And when you lose a green to too much sun or too much water or any of the foreign substances that can pop through the surface, you are in trouble. At the swankiest clubs, that results in unhappy members who generally have to pay an assessment to repair or, worse yet, rebuild the greens. That often causes the course to be closed for many months or have the members play on dreaded temporary greens set up in front of the real ones. On various goat tracks around the country where it might cost you $20 to play, including a cart, no one cares what shapes the greens are in. But they do at Quail Hollow deeply. The PGA players put on a happy face and said things like, they rolled well and they were soft so we could aim right at the pins. Zagar and his staff moved the pins around to the strangest places, i.e. wherever there was lush, closely rolled grass so the pros could have a shot at making birdie. But the point is, how could this happen on the biggest weekend of the year at Quail Hollow? After all, it's the richest and most exclusive club in Charlotte, with notable members from real estate tycoon Johnny Harris to Charlotte Bobcats owner Michael Jordan. And they have an entire year to prepare. But what could not have possibly happened did. And sometime this week, Gary Zagar will probably pay for it. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Hi, this is Don Rice, owner of Molly Made of Chapel Hill, with five simple reasons our customers do business with us. Number one, we clean your home the way you want it clean. Second, you're not bound by a contract. Third, we are true professionals. Fourth, we work as hard as you do. And number five, people notice. They really notice. Find out for yourself why hundreds of area families trust Molly Made. Visit MollyMade.com to book a free in-home customized cleaning estimate. MollyMade.com.
Orthopedic injuries can make even the smallest movements difficult. That's why UNC Orthopedics has made it even easier to get the care you need. Many of our services are located in a convenient facility on Highway 54 in Chapel Hill. The same exceptional care is available in sports medicine, total joints, bone health, orthopedic prompt care, and our fragility fracture program. For information, visit uncortho.org.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Every 2 seconds, someone needs blood. The victims of car crashes and cancer patients are but a few. The need is urgent, and it never goes away. We're Adventure Crew 9, and we invite you to give the gift of life at our third blood drive this year on Friday, May 10th, from 3:30 to 8 p.m. at Orange United Methodist Church. It's easy to make your appointment at redcross.org using sponsor code Chapel Hill. That's one word. Every blood donation can save up to 3 lives.
Thank you, WCHL, for caring about our community.
This is Larry Fedora, and you're listening to the WCHL Morning News on 97.9 FM, Chapel Hill Carboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
All right, Coach, thank you very much. Time now for your Chapel Hill Carboro weather, brought to you this morning by Carboro Family Medicine, serving Chapel Hill, Carboro, and surrounding communities for 30 years. If you like the idea of a team whose goal is your good health, join them at Carboro Family Medicine. Find them on the web at CarboroFamilyMedicine.net. Well, it's 59 degrees in Chapel Hill, wet, just kind of a dreary day out there so far. Widespread showers in the forecast for this morning, and then numerous showers and maybe thunderstorms in the afternoon as well. High today about 65. Chance of rain is 80%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Numerous showers with isolated thunderstorms possible and scattered showers after midnight even. Patchy fog rolling in after midnight. Chance of rain will be 60%. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered showers. Isolated thunderstorms possible in the afternoon. High tomorrow in the upper 60s. Chance of rain 50-50. 50% chance of rain tomorrow night as well, with the lows in the low 50s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, still big chance of rain, 40% with the high in the upper 60s. Wednesday night, partly cloudy. It'll start to change just a little bit, still a big chance of rain with a low in the low 50s. Then on Thursday, a much nicer day, partly sunny, with a high up in the middle 70s on Thursday, and only a 20% chance of rain. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low in the upper 50s, and then on Friday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 70s. So we'll get warmer toward the end of the week, but really just a few dreary days here. You know, you can enjoy an evening of laughter and reflection with Carol Burnett coming to Deepak for one show only this Mother's Day. That's Sunday night, 7 o'clock, back by popular demand. Comedic legend Carol Burnett will host an evening with off-the-cuff conversation with the audience, a format that grew out of the question and answer session she shared with her studio audience on each episode of the Carol Burnett Show. You remember that? And we're giving away a pair on WCHL's Facebook page. Enter by tomorrow at 5 p.m.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. Israeli airstrikes hit targets in Syria. to knock out suspected missiles that could be used by enemies.
The Israelis still aren't officially admitting they did it and how, but no one doubts they did.
CBS's Alan Pizzi is in Tel Aviv and following those strikes in the past few days.
The attacks have raised concerns about a regional conflict, and Israel has deployed several of its Iron Dome anti-missile defense batteries to the north to guard against any possible retaliation from Hezbollah.
In 2006, Hezbollah fired 4,000 rockets into Israel. But now, would Israeli officials be pushing regime change in Syria?
Reports here suggest the Israelis have told the Syrians through diplomatic back channels that sealing Assad's fate is not their aim. Whether or not he believes it is another matter, but as little the Syrian leader can do about it either way.
But Oman Zoabi, the Syrian information minister, said through an interpreter,
the government of the Arab Syrian Republic stresses that this aggression opens the door to all possibilities.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
Ron Stutz in the morning. Progressive talk all day. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It is 8:32, 28 minutes until 9 o'clock at WCHL. We have 59 degrees in Chapel Hill. Very cloudy day. Chance of showers and thunderstorms later on in the day. Also a little breezy this morning. A high temperature today in the middle 60s, and it's very wet out there after so much overnight rain. NBA player Jason Collins is the first openly gay athlete to come out while playing in a major American team sport. And on the collegiate level, UNC is taking steps of his own to ensure that the athletic community is welcoming the LGBTQ student athletes as well. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more on this story.
I think that there is certainly an openness and a desire to create an inclusive and welcoming environment.
That's Terry Phoenix. She's the director of the UNC LGBTQ Center. Phoenix has worked alongside Cricket Lane, UNC's assistant athletic director for student athlete development, to educate students, athletes, coaches, and staff about the importance of creating a safe atmosphere for LGBTQ student athletes.
And I do a lot of education work with athletics, so pretty much every year I talk to the incoming first-year football players.
Phoenix says UNC plans to participate in the You Can Play project. It's a national campaign dedicated to ensuring equality, respect, and safety for all student athletes without regard to sexual orientation. The National Hockey League Players Association and the National Hockey League announced its partnership with You Can Play in April. Universities like Duke, Miami, and UCLA have all produced content for the project. Phoenix says the It Gets Better video, released in April of 2012, also shows the university's attitude towards acceptance. In the YouTube video, UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham, along with more than 30 student athletes from 10 varsity teams, promoted anti-bullying and suicide prevention for LGBTQ teens. Phoenix is also a member of the university's new task force that's charged to review and enhance the university's policies and procedures for handling student-on-student complaints of harassment, sexual misconduct, and discrimination. It's being chaired by Christy Hurt, UNC's new interim Title IX coordinator. Phoenix will bring her background in counseling and violence prevention to the discussion on sexual assault.
That policy, while a lot of people have talked about it as, you know, specifically sexual assault, it actually is supposed to be covering a broader area than that.
The task force will meet throughout the summer and present recommendations to current policy by the end of the summer. For more information about the UNC LGBTQ Center and the You Can Play project, or to watch the UNC It Gets Better video, visit our website, chapelborough.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
And that is quite an impressive video, by the way. Nathan Million, manager at Karma Mall in Carborough, confirms that there was a break-in there over the weekend. Million says he believes an unknown number of people broke into Panzanella and from there entered the mall. Million says the front window of the bead store was smashed through. He reports the cash register at the bead store was also damaged. He believes the intruder or intruders left through Panzanella as well. As technology becomes increasingly important in today's society, Several branches of the local government are turning more to social media to communicate with the public, but some officials are still cautious about making that shift. WCHL's Ann Brenner has the story.
For the Chapel Hill Police Department, Sergeant Josh Meesemore says officers are primarily focused on using Twitter instead of Facebook for up-to-the-second news.
In the past, we've kind of put out the same content on both services, and I think moving forward, you'll see more of the current events, up-to-the-minute kind of stuff on Twitter from us, and then maybe use Facebook for more of the information about ongoing investigations or trying to solicit input from the public, put out more detailed information about things that are going on with the police department or things we're doing around town.
Meesemore says the Chapel Hill Police Department's Twitter page has particularly seen success when it comes to traffic enforcement announcements.
When our traffic unit is out doing speed enforcement or stop sign violations in a particular part of town, when we put that out, that's one of the things that gets retweeted the most by people because it seems like that's of great interest to people. They want to send it out to their followers so that they know that we're doing speed enforcement somewhere and we're not trying to hide it.
But unlike Chapel Hill, the town of Carborough hasn't set up social media sites for law enforcement. Here's Lieutenant Chris Atack of the Carborough Police Department.
The town has a Facebook account, as well as a Twitter account. We don't have a separate police department one at this time. So if there's any sort of information that needs to go out about upcoming events or other public safety issues, we usually use those two outlets.
Still, ATAC says the idea isn't off the table for some point in the future.
It's been an avenue we've been looking at for a period of time because there are some, obviously, departments in the area that have Facebook presence specifically, and there is certainly utility in that application, so that's something that we're exploring.
For the town of Hillsborough, Facebook has been a useful tool in the apprehension of suspects. According to the town website, in March of 2012, officers started using Facebook to request tips from the public. Since that time, 14 posts have resulted in suspect identifications or arrests. Facebook tips have also led officers to recover numerous stolen items. Meanwhile, in the educational branch of local government, Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board member James Barrett says while social media can be valuable, it's not without its risks.
I think the biggest one is that it's very easy to say something that can be taken out of context. And it's truly true of all electronic communication. There's no tone, and so people lose that perspective on what's being said.
The Chapel Hill Carborough City School District does have both a Twitter and a Facebook page, but Barrett says right now the board's members are leaving most social media projects to Executive Director of Community Relations, Jeff Nash.
I think that Mr. Nash is certainly cognizant of trying to communicate with people more and be open to people more, and so I think he's looking for ways to do that, but it's not been a serious push of the board, I don't think.
But Barrett, who recently wrote a blog post on the growing role of social media in local government, says he acknowledges the importance of social media for the district, especially for sharing images.
I think particularly our Facebook presence allows us to share photos. It's been great for people to be able to see Northside Elementary going up and things like that. So we're definitely moving in the right direction.
You can follow links on our website at chapelborough.com to access the social media sites for the Chapel Hill and Hillsborough Police Departments, as well as the Chapel Hill Carborough City School District. Ann Brenner, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Good morning. It is 8:40 and WCHL, 20 minutes until 9 o'clock. Rod Stutz and a special guest in the studio this morning. Dr. Rebecca Todd-Bell is here from Central Dermatology. How are you this morning, Dr. Todd?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
Thank you for coming in this morning. Today is a special day, Melanoma Monday Awareness Day. And, you know, there are a lot of different maladies, a lot of different things that have their own week or month or whatever. And this is Melanoma Monday Awareness Day. And tell us all about that.
Well, they've chosen May 6th to highlight melanoma awareness in the United States. They encourage everyone to wear orange and just raise an awareness for melanoma.
Well, I would have worn orange this morning if I'd known about it when I got dressed this morning. But I think it's a good idea. If you haven't left home yet, wear orange today. And melanoma is something that's misunderstood by a lot of people and not really understood. So explain to us what kind of a cancer is melanoma.
So melanoma is a cancer from the DNA of melanocytes. It gets damaged. And those are the cells that are responsible for the color of your skin or the color of your hair. And once that DNA is damaged, the cancer grows uncontrollably and leads to a melanoma.
It's a really common occurrence. A lot of people go through this, and it's not unusual at all, is it?
No, not at all. Actually, 1 in 5 Americans will develop skin cancer in their lifetime, and melanoma is the deadliest of those types of skin cancers. There were 120,000, approximately, last year in the U.S. alone.
Those of us with rather fair skin have to go through this a lot, and when you get older, it's really important to, you know, have all this stuff checked out on a regular basis. And, you know, when you're lying out there on the beach, when you're young, you're thinking about, I'm getting a great tan. Well, that may come back to haunt you later on in life.
That's true. You know, it is a disease of older individuals, but it's the most common form of cancer, period, in people aged 25 to 29. So you can't ignore changing moles or any kind of new lesions, even when you're young.
Mm-hmm. What about tanning beds? You know, you hear a lot of talk about this, people using tanning beds. Is that dangerous as well when it comes to melanoma?
Yeah, there's a huge movement right now to educate people about the dangers of tanning beds and to try to especially get people under the 18 banned from using tanning beds. More than 1 million people visit tanning beds in the U.S. every day, and 70% of those are Caucasian women, most between the ages of 16 and 29. And those people especially don't understand how dangerous tanning beds are to their skin.
The sun is a wonderful thing. We love the sun.
We do love the sun.
Also, it's important to be sun smart. What do you mean by that?
Being sun smart is really important, especially people with fair skin. And what you can do to be sun smart is to avoid sun between the highest peak of the day, between 10 and 2. You can try to wear protective clothing like long sleeve shirts, pants, wide-brimmed hat, and sunglasses. And make sure you're wearing some broad-spectrum water-resistant sunscreen, SPF 30 or higher, and reapplying every 2 hours or after you swim.
It's important to think about the top of your head as well.
Yes, don't forget your hat.
Now, I know that you know, a lot of people know Central Dermatology because you guys are on the radio with us all the time, but take just 30 seconds, if you would, and tell us about Central Dermatology and what kind of things you guys do.
Central Dermatology is great. I'm new to the practice, and I feel very fortunate to be included in the practice. There are 5 doctors. There are 4 physician's assistants, and we have offices in Chapel Hill, Siler City, Sanford, and a new office in Hillsboro.
Mm-hmm.
So we serve quite a big area in this Chapel Hill area.
And let me just say that from personal experience, if you haven't done business with Central Dermatology, you need to get well acquainted with them.
Oh, thank you very much.
Because it really is something that is... really necessary. Most people don't really talk about it, but it's a very common thing, and you need to take care of your skin.
The skin is the biggest organ on the human body.
Yeah, something to think about. How do folks get in touch with you or with Central Dermatology to find out more about what you do?
The phone number there is 919-401-1994, and you can find us on the web, centralderm.net.
Okay, and don't forget, today is Melanoma Awareness Day.
That's right.
Melanoma Monday Awareness
Melanoma
Day.
Melanoma Monday.
And have a great day, and thank you, Dr. Rebecca Todd Bell, or Dr. Todd. thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks a lot.
It's 8:44 at WCHL, 16 minutes until 9 o'clock. Coming up next on WCHL, Professor Lou Margolis has today's commentary.
Are you the type who simply can't resist a classic?
He's looking at you, kid.
Go ahead. Make my day.
If you can't resist a classic, then Breadman's Restaurant is the perfect place for you. You'll love the banana pudding.
Hello, gorgeous.
And you can get a full Brett anytime.
Inconceivable!
Open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily.
Breadman's Restaurant, since 1974. A Chapel Hill classic.
And God is my witness. I'll never be hungry again.
Sister Act, the smash hit musical the New York Post calls ridiculously fun, is coming here, direct from Broadway.
It's the hilarious story of a wannabe diva who transforms a ragtag church choir into the hottest musical act around.
And she discovers what sisterhood is all about. So join the 3 million people who've experienced the pure, unadulterated fun of Sister Act, America's new musical comedy classic.
You'll leave the theater feeling amazing.
Opens May 14th for 8 great shows. For best seats, go online to dpacnc.com today.
Hi, this is Ron Stubbs. at Carolina Ophthalmology here in Chapel Hill, Dr. Jamie Bryan has been performing vision correction surgery, including LASIK and PRK, for 18 years. Dr. Bryan performed my vision correction surgery about a decade ago. It really changed my life. Dr. Bryan is certified by the American Board of Ophthalmology and is Chapel Hill's most experienced vision correction surgeon. At your free consultation, Dr. Bryan will answer your questions and evaluate whether vision correction procedures are right for you. Visit Carolina2020.com or call 919-945-EYES.
This is Roy Williams, and thanks, Ron Stutz. You've done a great job of waking everybody up in Chapel Hill and Carrboro for 35 years. After you wake them up, you've probably put them to sleep again, but congratulations.
Thanks, Coach. 8:46, 14 minutes until 9 o'clock. WCHL, good morning.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Lou Margolis. Who would have thought? The UNC football program has now recognized itself as champions of the ACC Coastal Conference. Even though the NCAA clearly informed UNC that, quote, should a member institution be ineligible for postseason competition due to NCAA sanctions, it will be ineligible for regular season or divisional recognition, unquote, the Department of Athletics has decided otherwise. The football team is the champion because they would have been the champion had they followed the rules. I would like to suggest that before choosing to flaunt the sanctions that it brought upon itself due to academic fraud and other violations of NCAA rules, and before it spent limited resources on championship rings, banners, and billboards, the Department of Athletics should have looked to its own glossy strategic plan. One of the values in the plan is responsibility, do what is right. Is it right to violate the spirit of the rule? Isn't being the champion the ultimate recognition on the field of play? If so, how is it right to claim the championship when UNC did not play in the championship game because it was ineligible? If doing what is right is not accepting the punishment, what does it mean then to have do what is right as a value? Perhaps the Department of Athletics is expressing its second value, innovation, find a better way. If our football team is prohibited from being recognized as champions because we violated the rules, a better, more innovative way to be champions is simply to call ourselves champions. How will football players give voice to the value of service? Put others first. What will they say when they are engaged in service to the sick kids they visit in hospitals or children in classrooms or on local playing fields? When those kids ask, innocently and naively, if the UNC football players are the champions? Did anyone in the Department of Athletics discuss with members of the university community whether it was a good idea to bend the rules to declare unilaterally a football championship, given the embarrassing scandals that UNC has recently been forced to address? The Department of Athletics should be asking itself what exactly its newly developed mission means. We educate and inspire through athletics. Is the department educating its athletes and the university community that through athletics it's okay to manipulate rules to accomplish other goals? This is Lou Margolis.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. What You're Saying on the Street.
I'm Ann Brenner. Some of us who are morning people might prefer breakfast over dinner, but plenty of us would rather go for a midnight snack. We hit the streets of Chapel Hill to find out, what's your favorite meal of the day and why?
Elaine Murphy, and I live in Chapel Hill. Dinner time, because it has meat, potatoes, and vegetables.
My name is Bernie Isgett. My favorite meal of the day, breakfast for supper. Why? Because I don't get to eat it at breakfast. And I like breakfast food, and it's generally been a family thing.
My name's Amberg Baldridge, and I'm a freshman at Carolina. I think my favorite meal is dinner. Such a versatile amount of options. I always like to try something new, so it's fun to experiment then.
Brian Waters, I live in Chapel Hill, North. I like salmon, a little bit of salmon, a little bit of Caesar salad, just because it's healthy for you. I try to stay away from a lot of cows and, you know, chicken and all that stuff. So, yeah, man, I go the fish route.
Deborah, and I'm currently living in Mebane. Probably dinner because it's more of a family meal and everybody's together.
Pierre Molster, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Today, Chick-fil-A, because it might be my only meal.
What's your favorite meal of the day and why?
My name is Caroline Pence, and I live in Carrboro, North Carolina. My favorite meal of the day is dinner, because it's the meal that I prepare for our family. So I have the most control over the kinds of food that we make.
I'm from Cali and I am in Chapel Hill. Breakfast, because I have all day to stop feeling guilty about it.
Kathleen and I'm at Chapel. I live in Chapel Hill. Oh, lunch, definitely, because I think my digestion is best, you know, between around 12 or 2, something like that. I get energized the most.
My name is Dee Dee Corvinus and I live in Carrboro. It really depends on what I'm going to have to eat. Not so much the meal as what I'm eating. I was just describing that there's a meal at the Red Bull that's tempura shrimp with candied walnuts and broccoli and a white sauce. One of my favorite meals.
Nora Durham. Breakfast, because it gets me a good start for the day.
This is Officer Jim Morgan at the University Mall and here at Chapel Hill. Breakfast, usually where you've slept all night long and you get up, you need to have something to nourish your body to get going. And I try to be a workaholic, so I have to have something to get going.
That's what you're saying on the street. A 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Orange County government works hard to meet the various needs of each resident. The active involvement and daily participation of residents is vital and encouraged. More than 25 advisory boards made up of volunteers advise the 7-member Board of County Commissioners on policy development, planning decisions, and the types of county programs offered throughout the year. If you want to get involved in your county government, request an application. Application to serve on an advisory board. Contact Orange County at 919-245-2130.
No suitcase required. Best Tile is here to make your dream design project a reality with their unsurpassed global selection of tiles. And you only have to travel down the road. The team at Best Tile has sourced the globe so they can bring you the imported selections that you love close to home. Best Tile is located right in your neighborhood between Chapel Hill and Durham at the corner of 15501 and Garrett Road, just off I-40. So stop by and visit their extraordinary showroom and all that the world has to offer without ever leaving the triangle. Best Tile, local store, global selection. Begin your quest at besttile.com.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
This is Bill Cederberg of Cederberg Kitchens and Additions, located here in Chapel Hill. Been in business since 1986.
Cederberg Kitchens and Additions, they're very good at the job they do.
We're a full-service design remodeling company, Ron, and we specialize in turnkey process where our customers usually are looking for sort of a one-stop solution. We can help them with the design process, resourcing of materials, and helping them with actually making decisions about what's going to work best for their personal situation, and then the actual production of that work with our own staff, you know, trying to essentially minimize the number of opportunities for, you know, miscommunication or loss of information because you're handing it off to a third party or another party. And so we are ultimately responsible from the beginning of the process to the end of the process.
Remember the name, Bill Cederberg.
People are interested in learning more about us. You can go to our website at cederbergkitchens.com. You'll see examples of our work and some testimonials and products, et cetera, et cetera.
Cederberg Kitchens and Additions.
We are located at 630 Weaver Dairy Road in the middle of the Cedar Village Shopping Center here. And you can find us in the phone book at 919-967-1171.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL, local service, daily insights.
Good morning. It is 8:54, 6 minutes away from 9 o'clock at WCHL. You remember Wayne Pond's word of the day? What is the word? How do you spell it? And what does it mean? Call right now and tell me the answers. And if you're the first to do so, you get a $10 gift card to Cruisers. It's all brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Your number to call right now, 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Jim Kitchen is today's WCHL hometown hero. Congratulations on the recent launch of Launch. Tell us what Launch is.
Thanks, Ron. Launch is a business accelerator for our for-profit, non-profit, and social launch ventures. Its goal is to create impact, and we do that through some great workspaces, a collaborative work environment, and by connecting our ventures with highly relevant and experienced business mentors and executives, people that have been there and done that.
And because of the hard work and dedication of Jim and others, launch has gotten off to a great start.
We have some excellent ventures already at 321 West Rosemary, life science companies, health companies, some internet ventures, some consumer product companies, educational companies, from truly in the startup phase to a little bit more experienced ventures. We're off to a great start.
Jim Kitson contributes in so many ways to our community, and what led him in this direction?
I started as an entrepreneur myself at UNC back in the mid-80s. I started teaching entrepreneurship at UNC several years ago. I had a number of fantastic students that were interested in starting businesses as part of the curriculum. I had some extra desk space up on Franklin Street, asked them if they wanted to use that space to help create and nurture and grow their businesses, and this sort of took off from there. It's been a fantastic collaborative initiative.
Jim Kitson's very involved with the community, and he's very happy to be here.
Ron, I've been so blessed living in Chapel Hill for 30 years. I started this business, was able to sell it back in 2005, trying to give back just to have a gratitude for the health and the success that I've had, and I think being able to share that with other people is truly one of the joys in life, and having that contentment of being able to help other people has really sustained me. I've been blessed with a wonderful family, my wife and two wonderful healthy kids, which has allowed me to devote a lot of attention to other causes like Make-A-Wish, giving computers to kids and families that can't afford the Public School Foundation with the fabulous work that they do, Children's Hospital. There's just so many wonderful organizations in Chapel Hill and our communities.
It's because of so many great people like Jim Kitson that this is such a special place.
This community has soul. It has heart. We care about one another, and that's truly, I think, why people come here, why they stay here. So many people graduate from UNC and then stay here. It's really because of that.
When it comes to launch, Jim says the collaboration is unprecedented between Chapel Hill, Orange County, the Downtown Partnership, and the university, all working together and making it happen. And isn't that the way government should work? Jim Kitson, thank you for all you do. You're today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Automall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Automall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Automall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Time for a quiz. What Chapel Hill Group is investing in our local environment by buying carbon offsets, planting new trees, and ensuring toxic elements don't get into our water supply? And what Chapel Hill Group generously donates to hundreds of local social causes every day of every week of every year? The answer? Chapel Hill's business community. Surprised? You shouldn't be. Local business owners understand that commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship equals community. Commerce Plus in Chapel Hill. Find out more at opentobusiness.biz.
Pulmonology. Gastro what? I can't say that.
These are big words for kids to say, even bigger for them to handle. That's why we salute the real-life superheroes that make North Carolina Children's Hospital the super hospital it is. Ranked in 10 of 10 clinical categories by U.S. News and World Report, and highest in the state in pulmonology, gastroenterology, and cancer. North Carolina Children's Hospital is really proud of its number one ranking with those that matter most.
Like me. Like me.
Join Table the week of May 13th through 16th for our Hunger Awareness Week. Kicking off the week on May 13th at 7:30 p.m. at the Varsity Theater on Franklin Street is the premiere of A Place at the Table from the directors of Food, Inc. The documentary examines the issue of hunger in America. 30% of kids here in Chapel Hill and Carborough are on subsidized school meals and at risk for hunger. Check out tablenc.org for more information. Thanks, WCHL, for caring.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather. Well, first of all, let me tell you that Dan Murphy called in with the word of the day on WCHL. Jeremiah, J-E-R-E-M-I-A-H. I am, of course, aware that that is a name, but it also is an eponym, a person who complains continually. Jeremiah. And Dan Murphy gets a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Thank you so much, Dan. We'll have another word for you tomorrow morning. It is 58 degrees in Chapel Hill this morning. Widespread showers, numerous showers in the afternoon. Predicted isolated thunderstorms possible. High today about 65. Chance of rain is 80% today. 60% chance of rain tonight. 50-50 tomorrow and tomorrow night. And it'll get sunnier toward the end of the week.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
And now, CBS News, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development, where commerce plus social equity plus...